We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, y'all? This is One Royal Way here on Kansas City Sports Network. My name is Joel Penfield. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this episode. I know we are in the throngs of the football season now as baseball is winding down, but I appreciate you making this a part of your day. Joining me to talk about the Royals today, I'm something he's not necessarily accustomed to on a full podcast, Peter Apple, Just Baseball Media, co-host of the Just Baseball Show. Really awesome content. If you're looking to add another baseball show from a national perspective into your rotation, they're all over YouTube, wherever you can get your stuff, and also follow them on TikTok too. They post a really cool, the best clips from their episodes on there. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, the host of the Just Baseball Show. I also host Not Gambling Advice, which is my gambling podcast. You know, if you're into the gambling aspect of it, I host another one over there. And if you're a football fan as well, you're kind of a dual sport athlete, as I like to say, you like football and baseball, go check me out over there too. But thanks for having me on, Joel.
Okay, before we get into the baseball, the Royals stuff that I want to hit on, you mentioned the Not Gambling Advice. Now, gambling is now legal in Kansas, so this is a brand new thing since the start of September. I've started to dive into it, but mostly dove into like NFL and college football. I haven't necessarily gone into the baseball sphere with it yet, because as much as I love baseball and I think I know baseball, it's really fluky to where I'm like, I don't know how I can, I don't know how often you win, but you've had a pretty good run this year. I think you're like, what, 54% or something like that win hit this year?
Yeah, so, 55%. We're up about 39.44 units. So for any you know, new gamblers who aren't really sure what a unit is, that's how you should be basing your bets. So a unit, and the most responsible way is to set up a bankroll. And then let's say you set up $1,000 to bet or something like that. And you're like, as if I lost every single dollar, I'd be okay with it. That's what you should do. And then a unit is 1% of that bankroll. So let's say your unit size is, just for round number's sake, let's say it's $100. So betting every single one of my picks this year has netted you almost $4,000. That's basically how each unit is divided. And, you know, sticking to that, don't parlay, don't get crazy, because baseball is fluky. That's really the way that I've seen myself be able to win both last year and this year.
Okay, so what are some tips you could give to, for those that want to bet on baseball, what are some things that you look for when you're looking at a play you want to make?
So there's a lot of things that I like to look at. First, like when I'm looking at totals, when I'm looking at over unders, like that's what a total is basically in a baseball game. It's really about the pitchers, but I also like to look at how are the bullpens been doing. And a great website to use all of this kind of stuff and to get all this statistical analysis is you use Fangraphs, you go to the splits leaderboards, and you separate, like, let's say how Angels versus Rangers today. The Angels don't have the worst bullpen in baseball, but they've been used 5 days in a row, and they have the worst FIP in the month of September. So they've been really, really bad lately, and they're tired. So they're going to be putting in more guys who are not as good. Then on the Rangers side, we've seen that Dane Dunning against the Angels in particular, like it's important not to look at, hey, how is this one pitcher performing? How is he doing lately? How does he match up against this specific team? So Dane Dunning has been crushed by the Angels. And then the Rangers bullpen has been used a ton too, and they're about league average in September. While you know they may have some good names and you see that Dane Dunning is good at home, do you believe that Dane Dunning is actually as good at home? So you have to kind of judge it like that. It's fluid. There's not a one trick to be good at baseball gambling. You just look at specific matchups. Don't really worry about trends all that much. Look how guys are doing lately, because we know that baseball is a momentum sport. And when you're playing bad, you're more often going to play bad the next day. If you're playing well, you might keep that hot streak. So that's how I play it. Play momentum. Look at specific matchups. Don't worry about trends as much, as they might be more trendy, for the lack of a better word.
Besides the day-to-day, did you have any futures that you laid preseason that are looking pretty good right now?
Aaron Judge plus 1,800 to win the MVP.
There you go. Well, that one seems pretty solid right now. And you're a Yankee fan, so that makes a ton of sense. I got Sandy Alcantara plus 4,000 Cy Young preseason. So that one felt even better.
And I also have the bias thing working for me. You're a Royals fan betting on a Miami Marlins, and he's going to win the Cy Young too. That's a phenomenal bet.
Yeah, I also you have the complete other side of it where I took Wander Franco plus 1,800. So you got your give and take there.
Yeah, I mean, I took Gerrit Cole to win the Cy Young in the American League. How well is that working? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he stops pitching in a little league park, he might actually have a chance there. All right, before we get into our talking about the Athletic article and Dayton Moore's comments, the show is always brought to you by Kansas City Strength and Conditioning. Let's hear a quick word from them.
From the beginning, we knew right away that we wanted to do strength conditioning and a throwing program for the baseball and softball community. It wasn't something we were trying to back into or all of a sudden learn. We knew we were really good at coaching these skills from the get-go. And the fact that we're in the same business and the employees are all on the same page, you know, we can write a program based off of what a kid needs, not just getting him stronger or faster from a general sense. It's what does this kid need? On the pitching end, we can say, hey, this kid needs such and such. He needs to do this or that better. A lot of times it turns out it's not something that needs to be fixed in the baseball cage or on the throwing mound. It actually needs to be fixed in the weight room.
Thank you, as always, to KCSC for sponsoring this show. Be sure to check them out if you have a baseball or softball player in the area that needs a place to train. All right, Peter, so there was an article that was written by three former beat writers for the Kansas City Royals, and Andy McCullough, who's with, the LA Times now, or might be the Athletic. I know he was at the LA Times for a little bit, but wrote for the Kansas City Star. Rustin Dodd, who's at the Athletic, that wrote for the Kansas City Star for a long time. Then Alec Lewis, who just left to go cover the Minnesota Vikings. They co-wrote an article basically saying how the pitching development for the Royals has absolutely failed. They were a little bit nicer in their assessment of it, but that's essentially what the context of this was. And considering that the Royals spent so much of their draft capital in 2018 and beyond on the pitching side to try and have a wave to match up with these hitters, it's obviously has not worked really outside of Brady Singer to this point. Just a couple of notes in here about what the Royals have done. I mean, and hell, there are comments in here. And interestingly enough, the tweet that I'm pulling this from is Colby Olson, who does stuff for Just Baseball. So I didn't realize that until I pulled up the tweet here. But there was a long time ago, there was even a few years ago, the Royals didn't want their pitchers to long toss. But there's stuff here now. Players can't watch film without a coach present. They have like a complete failure of pitch design technology in Rapsodo, Edutronic that most other, I'd say 80 to 90% of other major league organizations have and use to maximize their pitchers, requiring pitchers to throw their fastballs down in the zone, regardless of their spin rate and pitch type. It's just like archaic stuff that has obviously, it's not even like they're doing all of this stuff and it's working. They found a way to make it work. They're not even doing that. It's been a colossal failure this year from rookie ball all the way to the major leagues of not being able to get guys to strike out, not being able to, you know, there are so many pitchers that have 5+ ERAs over a full season. Alec Marsh struck out 140 guys in Double A. That's great. He has a 7.4 ERA. Like, I don't know what the obvious fix here is just to tear it down and move on. We've seen them do that on the hitting side. And now they're a top 10 development, you know, hitting development organization in baseball. But what do you think about all of this when you read the article, when you saw all of this come out?
Well, first, they're not taking responsibility for their actions. And what that makes me think about it more is that even if they're failing, their ego is getting in the way. I mean, that's just my take from it. You know, this could be conjecture. This could be not true. But when I read the article, when I've seen how this has been an organizational failure, to use your words, that it seems that no matter what the results are, there is a line of thinking there in Kansas City that they will not move on regardless. And it just hasn't worked, and they're not willing to move on from it. What I've seen, and even in your division with the Cleveland Guardians, what they seem to do is that they draft guys who can pitch, maybe have two really solid pitches, and they're going to help you develop a third. Because there's a big thing in Major League Baseball. A lot of guys have great stuff. Of course they do. A lot of guys have great stuff. You're in the Major League Baseball. But you got to find pitchers, like pitchers who know how to get outs. What the Royals did, right? Remember when they drafted Ace Lacy? And what was Ace Lacy's calling card, right? Really, really good stuff. How good of a pitcher was Ace Lacy coming out of the draft? Those were some concerns coming from them.
Yeah.
So, and this has been a common trend. A guy like Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich, you know, they go for the shiny stuff. When they say, well, can you actually pitch? Can you actually command that within the strike zone? And then when they get there, they aren't teaching them that. They just go with their common way that isn't working. Like, you have to be customizable. You have to be quick on your feet with these guys. Like, every player in Major League Baseball is completely different. And when you run them through the same system, like, go look at how the Dodgers are doing it. You know, they have invested so much in player development, as the Guardians have as well. And look what's happening. They just spawn these guys out of nowhere. You know, I even find that this is off topic of the Royals, but we heard Austin Voth, right? He was with the Nationals, and he was not good with them. Then he goes over to the Royals, and he made a comment saying, the Orioles just opened my eyes to all these different stats and analysis. Like, it's clear that the Royals are on the forefront of not knowing what they're doing, maybe similar to the Washington Nationals over there. So it has been an organizational failure, and I don't see it changing anytime soon unless they completely revamp everything.
And we've seen them do that. They've made a complete teardown of the hitting development after 2019. I don't know how familiar you are with how that went for the minor leagues in 2019, but Nick Prado was a colossal failure in high A. MJ Melendez was a colossal failure in high A. Like, the guys that they were banking on that are now in the big leagues, or at least, you know, have gotten big league time, like, we thought their careers were done. Like, they were non-prospects. They brought in Drew Saylor, who was, I believe at the time, was the high A manager for the in the Dodgers organization to run hitting, and it has completely changed in a heartbeat. Now you have guys that were either non-prospects or fringe type guys that have been able to make it to the big leagues quickly, or a guy like Michael Massey, who had a great year in high A and hit his way from double A to the big leagues to be an everyday second baseman right now. Turned Vinny Pasquantino into one of the best hitters in that lineup, and one of the best young hitters in baseball out the gate right away. So we've seen them do it. It's just a matter of them actually wanting to get there and actually do that. And it's up to them. And we've seen it since 2018 at the big league level. They hired Cal Eldred, who had never been a pitching coach prior. And I know I have talked about this. If you listen to this podcast since April, I mean, I've been hammering this. He had never been a pitching coach before he got hired by the Royals. And it's been a colossal failure since then. Like, the pitching staff has not been good. Brady Singer has turned out to be a legit 1-2 for this team, which is awesome. What else do you have? We're going into next year, into 2023, thinking, okay, what's the rotation going to look like? Brady Singer. And that's about it. You don't know what you have.
Grinky?
And maybe. And if they want to bring him back, fine. Like, if you want him to be your 4 or 5, sure. Like, he can do something. Yeah. He's a good enough pitcher that
He's been awesome at Kauffman Stadium this year. Awesome.
Yes. Now you send him on the road and you're praying and praying and praying. And I'm sure you're fading the Royals when you see Grinky on the mound on the road.
You may be right.
Yeah. So I understand that some of this is, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect and guys bust. Like, I get it, but yes, it happens. But we've seen, like, there have been flashes of good Daniel Lynch. There have been flashes of good Chris Bubich. I don't know what the hell happened to Jackson Kowar. I thought he was a surefire thing as there could be. And he's had one of the worst starts to a major league career ever. So there's a little bit of chicken or the egg in this, where are these guys really did they just bust and it's a shit happened sort of thing and you need to go and find the next guys? Or is this an organizational failure and you're going to go and, you know, maybe you can turn it around? And it seems like opposing scouts and other people in other organizations think that's the case. because they have said, you know, guys like Singer, Bubich, Coar, Lynch, if they were in with the Dodgers, the Rays, the Guardians, the Giants, any of these other organizations, they'd be studs. Yep. They would be at least at the worst mid-rotation guys. They wouldn't be some of the worst pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. So that makes me think, okay, you bring in the third down, you know, the guy third down the ladder from the Rays, bring him in to come in and change your pitching development. Maybe you can turn this thing around, because so much of this rebuild that's failed for 4 years now has hinged on these pitchers.
I totally agree with you. I am on the same page as you. Daniel Lynch is too good for the production that he's shown. Even like Chris Bubich is too good. These guys have this. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Asa Lacy, I keep going back to him. I loved him coming out of college. But these guys just can't develop in Kansas City. And it is an organizational failure. And you're right. If they were with the Dodgers, if they were with the Guardians, if they were with the Rays, these guys would be studs. And that's just the reality in Kansas City right now. But at the same time, like you mentioned, how they've revamped the hitting. So it is possible. It's not like this is a doomed organization for the rest of time. These are tangible things that you can fix. You fix the hitting, and maybe it is a process at this point, because I didn't expect the Royals to be this bad this year. But this is just a continued thing. And until they revamp that side of the team, you have no chance, because the thing is, the longer you wait to revamp, the better the other organizations get. That's the thing. Technology is advancing at crazy rates. Remember 6 years ago, the iPhone came out. Now we have the iPhone 40. It's like that in baseball. Guys get better every single day, and they're just accelerating, and there's a full buy-in. Teams are investing millions and millions of dollars into player development. So the longer they wait, like if they don't do it this offseason, then they wait another year, you're just falling behind the eight ball. So you could go get that third string guy from Tampa, but is the organization willing to completely revamp? Because to your point in that article, it doesn't seem like they're even acknowledging that there's a problem there. So it's one thing to bring in a guy who's the third string from the Rays and hope that he's a better pitching coach. There's another thing for the whole organization to buy into the fact, hey, what we're doing is not the right way of doing things, and we have to put our ego aside in order to be better as a baseball team. So I ask you, Joel, do you think that the Royals can do that?
I think they can. I mean, we've seen I've mentioned it and you mentioned it. There is precedent to them completely revamping one side of their player development. So they can do it. It's just a matter of them being able to get out of their own way and just do it. And you mentioned a little while ago about just kind of the arrogance of the way that they are talking about it. And Dayton Moore made some comments, and he's done this a couple of times this year, where it's just like, man, just sit in your office and just please stop talking. Please stop talking to the media. Like, I get it. You know, you want to be forward facing as the president of the baseball ops, but there are some times where you just shouldn't say anything. And he made some comments on 610 with Josh Vernier on Sunday, I believe it was, where he said, and this is just one of the quotes in here, he said, "Of course, we had a lot of people in the organization disappointed in that piece because it wasn't factual and it left out a lot of important things. I speak to the upside of where we are and where we're going with our pitchers." So if it was some slapdick like me that wrote the article, sure, you can go ahead and say what you want about me. I don't care.
Not McCullough. He's a dog. I love him.
Rustin Dodd, Alec Lewis are three fantastic writers that have done a ton of great work and storytelling in Kansas City. They know their stuff.
Yep.
So if like saying that about them tells me you just didn't like what they wrote.
Exactly.
And it seems very calculated that since Alec Lewis left about 2-3 weeks ago to co-cover the Vikings, now the article comes out because the Royals don't have a beat writer. Right.
Do you think those writers have an agenda against the Royals? I'm sure they're all Royals fans deep down, and they want this team to get better. They're just writing a hit piece on purpose. When if you had an option, like pick your best Kansas City writers, like a couple of them would probably be in it. Who else are you going to get to cover the Royals than diehard guys who have worked in Kansas City, know the team front and back, and just want the team to succeed and show the fans what's happening? They didn't write something that was untrue. They wrote something that was true and they didn't like it.
Yeah, and Ryan Lefebvre, who was the play-by-play announcer for the Royals on Bally Sports, he was the one that asked the question. I feel like it was framed really like badly. I don't know if you saw this, but yeah, the question that got to Dayton Moore's answer was, how do you decide what is valid criticism and what's just somebody shooting their mouth off? That was the way that he framed the question about the article. And that feels like it was tailored to people like in the media not wanting to believe what's in the article. And again, it's just an organizational thing that it's infuriating because like everybody can see it, from fans to people like me that are like very lowercase J journalists covering this team, to people that are capital J journalists covering this team, people outside the organization like you and other people at like John Boy Media and Barstool, whoever else that covers this, you know, that covers baseball knows Royals pitching sucks.
It's clear.
And it's so clear and obvious that there is talent in this organization. You just have to be able to find it, man.
There's so much talent.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like, we even look at some of the top prospects, like right now, like you have a guy named Ben Kuderna. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name, but I know
Ben Kuderna.
Like, I know that he's a top prospect in your guys, but like Frank Mazzucato, like a lot of our guys love him. Beck Way, who you got in that Benintendi deal coming over from the Yankees. Like, I thought to myself, I didn't want to give away Beck Way in that deal. And Beckway shoved in his first outing for the Royals. Like, there are guys here, and there are guys that are continue to at least rise in the minor leagues, but then they get to the major leagues, and they just haven't been taught enough. I mean, what are you going to do when you go up against these teams that are just, first of all, they have the same level of talent. Everybody's talented in Major League Baseball, but they have your number. They have better numbers than you do. They know what you're going to pitch and what situations. And then they throw you out there when maybe your strength is throwing the high fastball up in the zone. That's what you made your money on. And then the Royals brass is telling you, no, it's a part of our organization to throw it low. And then you get crushed. Well, I mean, whose fault is that? Is that the pitcher? It's an organizational failure. So I don't even blame any of the Royals pitchers. I really don't. Brady Singer coming out of college, are you kidding me? I was obsessed with that man. Like, Jackson Cora coming out of Florida, are you kidding me? Like, these guys, the drafting, I was always on board. It's not that you've drafted, you know, like, oh my God, you took this guy. Like, Frank Mazzucato, great pick.
They've drafted really well. What they have done is they have out-scouted their development is essentially what they've done. And what you really need to do essentially is out develop your scouting to a certain degree and be able to take the guys you have and make them better. That's what you see. Like, you and I can go get picked up by the Rays. You give us an offseason program and we could probably pitch to what? Like maybe a 5 ERA and not be horrible.
I'd like to give myself a 4.75.
Yeah, something like that. Man, I don't want to spend too much more time on this because it's just going to get me fired up and annoyed, but I'm glad that at least somebody outside the organization and that doesn't cover this team every single day recognizes how horrific this has been for this organization.
We've talked about the Royals hundreds of times on the Just Baseball show. And just like, we talk about how much we love Bobby Witt, how much we love Prado and MJ Melendez. Like, MJ Melendez is a friend of the program and we're obsessed with the hitters. Like, we believe that the Royals have a real shot here if they do something with the pitching. That has been the story of the year. These guys can develop their starters, this is a scary young team. And until they do that, they will be a 100-loss team because we know that starting pitching wins games in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like, I don't even think the bullpen's that horrible, but they've been so taxed because the starters can't go deep into games. And like,
exactly,
we're tonight, recording this on Wednesday, and Daniel Lynch is going tonight. Hopefully he can turn it around a little bit, but the Twins have absolutely had his number this year. At least it seems that way. And I don't know what to make of this. And we're recording this on, like I said, Wednesday afternoon. So by the time you're listening to this on Friday, this is already going to have happened, but it is interesting that John Sherman, the owner of the Royals, has called a press conference for later this afternoon. I wish we were recording later in the day so I could react to it, but I'll be curious what happens here. I don't know if it's going to be the kind of attaboy vote of confidence thing at the end of the year that sometimes owners or front office people will do, or if this is a head's going to roll and we got to change things sort of deal. I don't know, but I'm sure I'll talk about it next week if there is something really serious here. Moving on to the current team this year, we talked about it a little bit before we hit record. I had this team winning 77 games this year. They're obviously we're staring down the barrel of 100 losses. What was your preseason expectations for the Royals? How did you see them back in the end of March, beginning of April?
I was pretty close with you. I had them at 75 wins. Looking back on it, I even overvalued the pitching. Like, I thought,
I did too.
I thought they would be better. I thought Brady Singer, and to your point about Brady Singer being a 1-2, I think he's been around a 2. He's just, there's inconsistencies there. Sometimes he looks like one of the best pitchers in the American League. Yes. And then sometimes he just gets schlacked. Like, that's going to be his next development, is just be consistent with your stuff. Trust your stuff because it's awesome. But I can't believe Chris Bubich has been this bad. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that. Like, Daniel Lynch has been this bad. It's so hard for me to fathom. And Greinke, like, I thought Greinke would be better, to be quite honest with you. Like, over the full season, I thought he would be better. I thought the Royals bullpen would be better. You know, I even kind of liked Carlos Hernandez a little bit, but I mean, that was a terrible take by me.
That was, I've never been a Carlos Hernandez guy. Like, I've described it as the most, like, disappointing 100-mile-an-hour fastball I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. I see the stuff, and I'm like, maybe. I wasn't like, oh, Carlos Hernandez, top of the rotation kind of guy, but I thought maybe as a filler, like, he could give you good innings, but he has just dropped off the map. Yeah. And, you know, there have been some, you know, Salvi took a step back this year. He's caught on lately. He's been great lately, but some injuries there. Just, he wasn't the 48 home run guy. So just everything kind of fell flat this year, but there's a lot of things to look forward to. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is Trey Turner light at this point. Like, he's going to be, he's going to be a 25-30 guy in a quote unquote bad rookie season. If we're comparing him to Julio Rodriguez and Spencer.
Right. Turner, I think that's
where
thing.
He belongs. Like, I don't want to compare him to guys, you know, solid rookies, because he's not, he's one of the best prospects in all of baseball. And he's so fast, and he's just got to improve with the glove a little bit. I think we can all understand that, but he's also been switching between third and short. So I give him a full season at short. He's earned it. So, you know, so there's a lot of things to look forward to, but there's a lot of things that fell flat this year. And my 75 win projection fell flat.
Other than Bobby, what do you think of some of the other bats? You mentioned liking MJ, you like Prado. Prado just got sent back down to AAA, but he was striking out like 36% of the time. So I get it. I think he's certainly going to be a part of what we see in 2023 for the Royals, but other guys like Michael Massey, Vinny Pasquantino, Nate Eaton that have gotten some run. What do you think of those guys? How do you think they fit into the next year's team and the core moving forward?
I think Vinny Pasquantino is one of the most underrated young prospects in the entire sport. First of all, batted ball data, loves this guy. He has been a player who has hit at every single level and will continue to hit in baseball. A lot of these guys get very underrated. You know, they're not the sexiest looking players. They're not like Bobby Witt Jr. with the gorgeous hair. Or, you know, they're not like MJ Melendez, who just looks like a freak of nature. Like, or Julio Rodriguez with the Mariners, who, like, it's easy to look at them and dream on them. It's not as easy to look at a Ty France of the Mariners and dream on him. Or guys like that. Like, he will be Vinny Pasquantino, I think, could be an all-star. Like, that's how high I am on him.
Especially with the shift going away next year.
Exactly. Like, he is a guy who I think Royals fans can dream on as a stud at the position. Like, I'm a Nick Prado fan. I think Nick Prado is a good player, but I think Vinny Pasquantino is that guy at that position. And I'm obviously a huge fan of MJ Melendez. He's a fan of the he's a friend of the program of here at the Just Baseball Show. We've been following his career ever since he was in college with Mervil Melendez down at FIU. Like, he has just been a consistent. I think he led the minor leagues in home runs. Like, that's the kind of guy we're dealing with here. Exactly. Like, he is just such a good player, great head on his shoulders. And Bobby Wood Jr., who I'm in love with. Like, I think he's awesome.
It's wild that we look at Bobby Wood Jr.'s rookie season and there are people that think like he's been bad or like he's been underwhelming. I'm like, he went 20-20 as a rookie. There have been like five dudes that have done that, like first year players. Like,
he's just getting judged in a rookie class that is
nuts.
Like, Spencer Strider could win the Cy Young. Julio Rodriguez looks like an MVP. Adley Rutschman looks like already the best catcher in baseball. So since Bobby Witt isn't the best shortstop in the American League, bad rookie season. That's how he's being judged, which is just unfair. Because Bobby Witt Jr. in another season where we weren't having some of the greatest rookies that we've seen in the past decade, he'd be rookie of the year and everyone would be oohing and aahing. I think there's just a couple of things that Bobby Witt Jr. has to work on. He has to see more pitches. He just has not walked like I thought he might because he's a more disciplined hitter than he's shown so far this year. And then the glove. And that'll just come with time. He's so young. He's 21 years old. Like, Bobby Witt Jr. is 3 years younger than Adley Rutschman. I mean, give him a second. I say this on the podcast all the time. Give the man a second. He showed what he can do in terms of a talent level. Let him turn 22. Let him turn 23 years old. Like, let him just mature a little bit, and he's going to be one of the best shortstops in our game.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest revelations from this Royal season is the fact that Vinny Pasquantino isn't just a nice story, and he actually is a legit middle-of-the-order bat for the next 6 years. And if I could give him an extension right now, like the Braves gave Michael Harris, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
As you should.
He's a guy that you give the team-friendly extension to right now. Him into his mid-30s, and you let him be a career Royal. But then you still have guys like Michael Massey, who I love as well. One of the best defenders at second base. He's going to be really good when the shift goes away too, and he's not having to make throws from the middle of right field. The arm strength isn't fantastic, but the glove is great. He's shown really nice bat to ball skills. He walks a little more, then he's going to be in really good shape. And then Nate Eaton, I don't know if he's an everyday guy, but he's just a dude that just grinds like for at any position. He has played left, center, right. He has played a little bit of third, you know, for this team. Nothing else. He's a great bench bat. He's got a 97 weighted runs created plus right now. Shown not a lot of pop. He's striking out a little more than you want, but a great utility player for this team moving forward. There is a lot to like here, to where I don't think the Royals, if they want to go into free agency, they don't need to spend on a position player unless there's just surplus value somewhere and you just take it and there's someone left on the market late and you want to bring him in. It gives the Royals a great opportunity to just go and invest in pitching via trade and via free agency. Let these young hitters go, because I think they have a chance to be a top 10, top 12 offense with just these young guys in there right now. Add in Salvador Perez and, you know, Michael A. Taylor or something next year, and we'll go from there.
And while it doesn't seem bright right now, you look at the standings and you see a 100 loss team. They are in a better position if they revamp the pitching than most of the lesser teams in baseball, for the lack of a better word. Just like the fourth and fifth place teams, you look around Major League Baseball, like there are some teams who have massive issues. Like, for example, with the Marlins, they're the opposite of the Kansas City Royals right now. They have all the pitching, but they can't hit. Yeah. And, you know, pitchers, they can get injured more often. Like the Royals have all the hitting. Like if you combine those teams, they'd be amazing. But the Royals have a better opportunity to do than maybe even the Miami Marlins do, because with their guys, you know, with Sandy, you're getting the best out of Sandy now, but they are running him into the ground. Like Pablo Lopez has not been as good as maybe the first half he was. And like, they have a lot of guys like Max Meyer. I could get into it deep, but they've just had some injuries there in the starting rotation. Right. Like the Royals, their offense is primed. Like there is no question marks here. There's some question marks with the Marlins, and then there's massive question marks with the offense. The only thing, because the Royals have the pieces, you know, the Marlins don't even really have the hitting prospects. Like the Royals have great pitching prospects. They are able to draft great pitching prospects. You just have to revamp how you teach these guys with great stuff in order to be great pitchers. That's it. Then they're there. Like, there are tangible things that you can say, this is what we have to fix. You can go in the offseason and fix it, and you will be a better team. And the Marlins have an issue that the Royals do not. Marlins have to deal with the Braves and the Mets.
Yep.
The Royals, there's a window there. Like, this could be a good team a lot earlier than I think a lot of people think.
Absolutely. If there were any free agents or trades, like trade-type pitchers, for like a controllable-type starting pitcher, like the James Shields trade they made a couple of years, you know, back in 2013. Is there anybody that comes to mind for you? Because I have my names. I was just curious if there is anyone that comes to mind for you that you think would be good for the Royals to go get.
See, it's funny enough. I thought Tyler Mahle from the Reds would be a good addition for them. Not a great one, just kind of one of the under-the-radar type names.
Interesting.
If I'm the Royals, I want to go get guys who are pitchers first. Like, I don't even care about your stuff. Like, go get Merrill Kelly of the Diamondbacks in that.
That was one that my buddy brought up on the Royals Farm Report show the other day. Because Alex Duvall and I, one of two other co-hosts, we were dreaming on Zach Gallen, but I think his price is way too high right now.
Yeah, it's going to be
crazy. I'd still do it.
Oh, he's awesome. But, like, go get guys who don't need good stuff at all and can help these guys along the way. Like, are the Royals in a position to leverage their farm in order to get a Zach Allen? Like, you put Zach Allen in this rotation, how many more wins better are they? Like, I feel like you almost need the Merrill Kellys of the world. Bring a couple of those guys in, because I don't know if Zach Greinke is the veteran guy who's actually teaching anything. Like, he seems almost the opposite of that. Like, he does his own thing. Like, bring in guys like Merrill Kelly, bring in other guys around the league who will then come in and try and assist these guys. And then maybe when you're better a year from now, 2 years from now, then you make the hammer for a Gallen or guys like that. Then that's how I would deal with it, at least firsthand, because you bring in Zach Gallen now, he's just maybe, I'm sorry, but like, maybe the Royals ruin him. Like, you do
that.
There just is those things right there. Like, bring in guys, like, be bridge guys. Because I don't think the window is right this second. Because, I mean, let these young guys, they're so young still, like, let them develop. We saw what happened with the Orioles. Like, the magic just ran out a little bit. They can catch fire because they're awesome, but they're just not there yet. But that's okay. Like, you have a plan. That's what you need from a team that's, like, there are plenty of teams in baseball who literally have no plan. Like, what's the Cubs' plan?
That's a great question.
Like, sign Stroman? How did that work? Like, there's just things that don't make sense for these teams. Like, have a plan, stick to the plan, and get better, and then you will get there in the long run. That's what I'd say with the Royals.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And that's right, we're talking touchdowns, we're talking big plays, and even bigger payout wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Listen, if that's not enough, DraftKings got you covered. Everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg that you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. That's right. I paused a little bit because I had to make sure that was true. Right now, for every leg that you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With bigger payouts than ever, why would you bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day, all season long. That's right. All season long. Here's what you got to do. You got to go to DraftKings Sportsbook and download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KCSN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. You can see the show notes for more details. Now, let's get back to the show.
On the free agent side, what do you think about Chris Bassitt?
I think that'd be a great addition. That's exactly the type of guy the Royals need.
Guys, that guy is like meant to pitch in Kansas City.
Literally.
Like he is type of guys. Meant to be that guy because he is very old school. I'm just going to go out there and pitch. I don't care about my numbers. I don't care about my spin rate. I just want to go pitch. And judging by what we've read in that article, it's perfect.
I couldn't think of a better name. Those are the guys that the Royals need. You leverage the farm and you go get Zach Gallen. What does it do? Get Merrill and get Chris Bassitt. Pair them with Singer, Lynch, and Bubich in a rotation. That's a real rotation. Those guys can help. That's pretty. That's not bad at all.
On the position player side, I was thinking as people today because I think the Royals are maybe one bat short. And if you want to try and shore up like someone to add that actually is worth a damn from the right hand side and not Hunter Dozier, what about Brandon Drury? I'm curious what you think about that because he's already 30. I don't know if he'll command a ton of money, or at least a lot of years because he's in a contract year, but it's still one of those like still a little bit of a like unknown just because this was a pop year for him. But if you go and get that guy and he can be a 20 to 23 home run guy for you, lockdown third base, that would be interesting and give Bob, and that would also give Bobby the security blanket a shortstop too.
Here's my one concern about Brandon Drury. Brandon Drury really popped off at Great American Ballpark, which is basically a space station at this point. Then he goes over to San Diego and he's been good, but I'm afraid that you're going to pay him like he was in Kansas City. So I think it's a good addition depending on what the offer is. Like if you're trying to go 3 or 4 year deal and like a Jorge Soler type deal where he got 3 years, 36 from the Marlins, or Avisail Garcia, 4 years, 53. Like I would not do that.
That's
but if he's willing to do a 2 year deal at 20 million, I think that's worth it. You know, that's that pay him not for what he did in Kansas City, but pay him for what he's done maybe in San Diego. I think that's how you should be looking at Brandon Drury. Look at how he's done in San Diego.
Yeah, I think that I was looking at the numbers today because I saw his name on the free agent list. And I was like, oh, how's he doing in San Diego? And it's been like 700 OPS, maybe a little less than that. The power hasn't come other than the grand
probably
slam
what
that he
hit
is. His first game. Yeah, that's I a mean, little at, more of what he
look
does.
At Nick Castellanos. Remember Ooh. Coming over for Great American, went over the Philly. How's that gone? He's a negative war player. Like he technically owes the Phillies money.
Literally one of the worst players in baseball this year, which is just unfortunate. I guess we need more tragic events to like get him back. I don't know, but
I said the same thing. Oh, it's so funny.
Like I hate wishing stuff like that, but God, like the meme is too good to not die. Like
we need
just
COVID to come back for him.
Oh Lord. Oh my goodness. But all right. Do you have any other final thoughts on the Royals before we kind of wrap up and just talk about baseball in general? Because I frankly don't want to spend another 20 minutes talking about Hunter Lost team. If I would be honest,
I would just say, don't give up, Royals fans. Like there are tangible things that you can fix. You are not in the dumps. The record is not indicative of where this team is heading. I know it's been a very disappointing season, but the future is brighter than a lot of teams that are in your position. Just know that you're not a bottom dweller. You won't, and you'll be better soon.
All right, well, folks, if you didn't know, this is the last homestand for the Royals. They're finishing up a series with the Twins, and then the Seattle Mariners come to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if you're looking to take your crew out to the K to any of those games, be sure to check out our friends at Tickets for Less. TicketsForLess.com has the best selection of tickets to all your favorite concerts, sporting events, and shows, including the Royals. Tickets for Less never charges per ticket fee, saving you big time over other sites out there. You can save even more using our exclusive partner code at checkout. Simply enter code KCSN22 when ordering your seats at ticketsforless.com. That code again, KCSN22. Damn, I want to get out to the Seattle series, but my son turns 2 on Saturday. I have been told by the wife that is a hard, hard, hard no, which is unfortunate because I, as much as I love the Royals, I don't know if you know this, Peter, but I am a like live and die Seattle Mariners fan. Like happened awesome. Since I was a kid. So to watch them actually hopefully get to the playoffs, even though they got shellacked by the JP Sears and the A's last night, they're flirting with game. Painful. They're like flirting with how can I screw up a 99% chance playoff odds here? Like it just feels like at that at this point, just because they've done it for so long. But I'm hoping.
Oh, they're great. I've become a huge big fan of Seattle this year. They're awesome. I mean,
it's been incredible.
George Kirby is so good. We've been on George Kirby now for a while, like ever since Elon, and he just took an enormous step up in the velo department and then just doesn't walk anyone. I love him.
In 2019, we did a draft guide over at Royals Farm Reporter. That was the Bobby Wood Jr. Adley Rutschman draft, and I wrote up George Kirby. I didn't know a ton about him. That draft is insane. If you go and look at the guys that are in the big leagues right now, it's nuts. And I think
also,
that
when we're done, go check out that Florida Gators team when it had Singer and Cora on it.
Oh, it's nuts.
It's a double A team.
Yeah.
There's like nine big
leagues. The year they won the Natty? Would that be 2018?
Did they win the Natty? I don't think they even won the national championship that year.
Well, and I know the...
It was like the greatest team to never win it or something.
Yeah, well, and then the 2016 team, I was at that College World Series. That team had like Alex Fiedo, AJ Puck, Pete Alonso, and like, yeah, Brady Singer and Jackson Coar were on that team too.
Yeah, that team is like...
Yeah.
All-star team.
Okay, so just to talk about baseball in general as we're wrapping up these last couple of weeks of the season, man, it's crazy how fast the season went. I think it's crazy. Like, Aaron Judge is going to win MVP, like, for the in the American League, as I think he rightfully should, even though I still believe Shohei is going to, like, it's not going to be unanimous. Like, Shohei's still going to get first place votes, I believe.
Yeah.
Which I think it's crazy that that's the, like, how crazy of a season you have to stop Shohei Ohtani from winning MVP. You have to hit 60 home runs. Like, you almost have to win a triple crown to stop Shohei from winning an MVP. It's nuts.
I mean, remember Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year? He almost won the triple crown. He hit 48 home runs, tied Salvi.
Didn't even get a first place vote.
And didn't even get a first place vote. Like, what Shohei Ohtani does, he's right behind me on that poster, on that painting. What he does is, we've never seen it before. But I understand the argument at this point where if you give it to Shohei this year especially, name it the Shohei Ohtani Award, because then there's nothing anybody really can do. If you win the triple crown while hitting 65 home runs, because the question at this point is not, will Judge pass Maris? It's, will Judge pass Sammy Sosa at 66 home runs?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're looking at here. I even made a joke. It was a couple of days ago. I was like, if Aaron Judge hits, they had 16 games left. If he hits two home runs in every game, he'll finish with 91. Because that's what it felt like. That's the kind of
pace. Well, I mean, how many games left do they have in that Cracker Jack box in Yankee Stadium?
15 home runs. Funny enough, though, Yankee Stadium, when you look at Baseball Savant, like, you look at park factors, and this is something that I'm always on right when I'm judging, like, so total sides for gambling.
Yeah.
You know where it ranks in terms of, like, actually best for hitters? 11th.
Interesting. Huh.
Because the gaps are really, like, the gaps are bigger than you think. Down the line, oh, it's so easy to poke it out. But in the gaps and, like, to center, it's 408. So it's like, it's easy to hit home runs if you pull it down the line and, you know, all the short porch jokes. And, like, that's absolutely true. But in the gaps, it's not as easy to
that's
hit
fair.
Those out.
It's just an easy joke to make. It just is. God, I forgot the point I was about to make.
Like, I love the DJ LeMahieu home runs that go, like,
or the Giancarlo Stanton ones that get about 7 feet off the ground. And
the thing,
like,
is, though, like, he deserves those. He hits those 128
miles an hour. Yeah. Like,
yeah, he deserves
that ball. That ball he hit last night for that walk-off grand slam, that ball, I don't think it got more than 10 feet off the ground.
Piss missile. It was still going. I mean, I thought it drilled a hole in the bleachers.
Yeah. But to go back to Ohtani for just a second, like, last season, I've said it, and I'm curious, and I'm sure you agree, like, it was the greatest individual season in baseball history.
Yep.
And he followed it up with probably a better season overall. Cool. Because he's going to, I think he can get hot and hit 40. If he hits 40 home runs, 200 strikeouts, and a sub, like, because he's what, a 2.5 ERA, something like that?
Something
sub 2.5 ERA. It might be greater than what he did last year in his MVP year. Judge just happened to hit 67 home runs.
Here's what I think is the most underrated part about Aaron Judge. Because there is an aspect to baseball. Like, there's four things to baseball, right? There's base running, there's fielding, there's hitting, and there's pitching. Shohei Ohtani pitches and Shohei Ohtani hits. He's not as good as a base runner as Aaron Judge is, and he doesn't play the field. Aaron Judge has played 75-plus games in center field this year while being a plus defender.
It's like, crazy how good of an athlete he is.
Nobody talks about that. It's just they compare Aaron Judge, the hitter, to Shohei Ohtani, the hitter and the pitcher. When Aaron Judge could steal 20 bases this year and play a plus defense in center field, like, that needs to be recognized when we talk about this debate, because there are other things than hitting and pitching. Aaron Judge has been one of the better base runners, and you put him in right field, he might be the best defensive right fielder after Mookie Betts. Like, that's what we're dealing with here with Aaron Judge. He is not only having an incredible season at the plate, but he has become one of the most well-rounded players in the entire sport. And he has a 0.00 ERA, technically.
Technically, yes. it's going to be – how much is it going to pain you when he signs with the Red Sox this offseason?
Can we move on?
Okay. One more question on the Aaron Judge and part of this. What is the home run record to you? Because to me, it's Bonds in 73. I know Jack on the baseball show yesterday said that it's Maris because he doesn't want to recognize the steroid stuff. And I get that argument. But to me, like, it's an era of baseball. Whether we want to talk about how much it stained the game or not, at the time, it saved the sport because of the home run chase in 98. And B, no one cared. Like, it was so open and admitted, and basically without saying it, that these guys were doing steroids. Bud Selig didn't care. The other players everybody was doing it, pitchers, hitters alike. And it really, like, no one cared until the Balco investigation and the, you know, in like the mid-2000s when Major League Baseball flipped heel and acted like they cared. At the time, it didn't matter. So to me, I recognize the Bonds and the McGuire Sosa home run records the same way that I do Maris and what Judge is doing right now.
I don't, maybe this is a cheap answer, but I just don't like to speak in absolutes when I think about, like, I'm not like Bonds is the record holder. Maris is the record holder. I'm kind of, it's up to whoever I'm having the conversation with. That's and their fair. Interpretation of it. Like, if you believe, and this is the same thing in the Hall of Fame debate, if you believe that steroids, like you took steroids, you should not be in the Hall of Fame and you don't recognize any of those records, okay. Like, let's have that conversation. That's totally fine with me. Like, I totally understand where you're coming from. It's cheating, should not have been allowed in our game, whatever Bud Selig did to go like this, which I totally agree with as well. But then on the same side, if you're like, we have to acknowledge this, like Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs. He hit 762 home runs for his career. Those are the records. Like, Bud Selig did do this to the steroid era. Like, they allowed it until they didn't. And to your point about the Balco investigation, sure. Like, I don't have a strong opinion either way. Just like to talk it out. So if you say that the home run record is 73, sure. If you say the home run record is 61, sure. I know that's kind of a cheap way to go about it, but I just don't have a hard opinion on it. I just don't. I go back and forth. Like, I think both sides are right in a way. I don't think either side is wrong. So it's hard for me to take a side when I think both sides are right in their own way.
Yeah, I've kind of changed my stance over the last couple of years. I was very much for a long time like, steroid users don't belong in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, the Maris is the home run king and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think part of it is I've matured in my sense of, like, especially in the Hall of Fame debate side of Cooperstown, like, it's a museum. It is not a Hall of Fame. It's just there, you know, as it's a wing of the museum telling the story of the game of baseball. And to me, you can't tell the story of the game of baseball without Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, anybody else that's been linked to it. And especially there are guys in the Hall of Fame that were linked to steroids. And you can very clearly see if you look at their baseball reference page, Pudge, when they were doing it and when they were Pudge. Totally. Mike Piazza is linked to it. David Ortiz is linked to it. Like, there are so many others that are, that at this point, it's like, what are we doing this gatekeeping for? Because Barry Bonds said something mean to you in the media. Like, it's one of those, like, kind of, what are we doing here? Another time, and this is one I just thought of. I didn't really have a plan for this discussion about just baseball in general. Do you think some of the O'Neill Cruz discourse is a little overblown?
What do you mean by that?
So we see the highlight reel like every single night of him doing something ridiculous. And you look at his numbers and it's like, he's doing okay. Like, he's striking out 38% of the time. He just now got over 100 weighted runs created plus. Like, I think so. Like, it's that aspect of it. Not necessarily that he's not one of the freakiest athletes to ever play the game. Like, he is. And those highlight reels need to be out there just from a marketing perspective for baseball. But I was thinking about it like last week. I was like, man, I wonder how he's doing, because I don't watch Pirates games every week. Who does? And I don't even think Pirates fans watch Pirates games every single day. And I was like, oh, he's striking out 38% of the time, and he's barely, you know, the OPS is like barely over 700. So it just, some of it, like the discourse on it's a little, I think it's a little much right now. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of much.
Yeah.
I called him one of the most overrated players in all of Major League Baseball. Canada breaking ball. I put out a tweet, and this was a couple of months ago, or maybe, you know, it was probably about a month ago. And you know how Yankee fans hate Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. I don't know if you've heard that discourse.
He's the new whipping boy after Joey Gallo left.
Exactly. Or Aaron Hicks really is. But that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is also, they had the same WRC+. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and O'Neill Cruz. So I'm like, if you love O'Neill Cruz so much, like, you better start giving Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. But if you hate Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, you better be on the same side with O'Neill Cruz. He can't hit a breaking ball. He just has no semblance of an approach up there. Will he get better? Of course he will. I think he'll get better. He's also really young. It's just we deemed him the prince of baseball. We put him in the same categories as Bobby Witt Jr. and as Julio Rodriguez, and he's just not. He's on a talent level, like in a tools level, of course he is. He might be even better than them. Like, he is almost as fast as Bobby Witt. He can hit a ball 100 billion miles an hour. He has one of the most impressive arms I've ever seen in my entire life from the shortstop position. But baseball is in a game of tools, kind of similar to the Royals pitching situation.
Yep.
It's not about a bunch of tools. Like you need guys who understand the game of baseball, know how to play the game of baseball. And that's just something O'Neill Cruz has to learn. And he will. He's still really young. Freak in nature. Yeah, but I agree. People are putting a crown on him already when it's like, what has he earned other than his highlights are crazy?
Yeah, exactly. But he has, I noticed he had 17 home runs. I thought he had way less than that, huh?
He's hit some piss missiles.
Yes, like he's hit balls on the fly into the Allegheny. Like it's nuts. If he puts it all together, we're looking at a top five player in the sport. But
you can't put him in the same breath as Bobby Witt Jr.
Not even close.
I made a TikTok that did really well because people were like, "Oh yeah, O'Neill Cruz is definitely faster than Bobby Witt." I'm like, "The internet is free. I'll show you right now." I was like, "Go to the first sprint speed, like everything, like what?" He's just not. But you think he is because of what you've seen on the internet. When the internet, like, go to the good part of the internet, not Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What one final like baseball question debate here, just because I'm curious your thoughts. Besides the obvious answers of like DeGrom, Scherzer, Spencer Strider, I think kind of fits into that argument now, Clayton Kershaw, like the appointment TV starting pitchers, who's someone you're tuning in to watch, you know, whenever their starts up, besides like the obvious names that we can, you know, all think of?
Well, I'm obsessed with Cal Quantrill. The Guardian.
Oh, I know you. Yes, I've seen the tweets. That yeah. It's like the zoomed in Cal Quantrill face.
He's my favorite. I mean, watching a Shohei Ohtani start is pretty awesome. I have been tuning into a lot of Luis Castillo starts. I've been very intrigued with what he's been doing with Seattle. Who else across the league? Just the first kind of names that come to mind. Nick Lodolo with the Reds.
He's nasty.
I'm a big fan of his. So I'm just kind of thinking of guys who, like, you know, I could say I watch a bunch of DeGrom starts. I watch a bunch of Julio Urias starts. I watch a bunch of Gerrit Cole starts. Yeah, everybody does. How about the guys who you should be watching more of? Off the top of my head, again, just naming more guys. Aaron Nola's been fun to watch this year. Zach Allen, of course, has been fun to watch. I mean, I could keep going forever.
Yeah,
but those are really the guys who I think about most.
Obviously, Sandy has been on my list just because I have that Cy Young ticket. I put him
in the league of no shit.
Yeah, because it is some of the best, nastiest stuff in the game.
He's awesome.
Dustin May, for me, has always been one. I scouted him in AA when he was in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. It was illegal what he was doing like to some of those AA hitters. Yeah, it is some of the nastiest stuff I've ever seen live. In a game when you're sitting behind home plate and you're watching him throw 97 just bowling balls right at the back foot of a right-handed hitter, and then you see him go to the big leagues and he's throwing 100 doing it now. It's like, my God,
I don't know how anybody touches him ever.
No, like you've seen what he's done to Manny Machado, like those at bats in 2020 when that could be considered just bullying on the internet. Like that would get reported on Twitter what he was doing.
Potential Hall of Famers look like children.
Yes. But honestly, I mean, a little bit of this is just because I'm a Mariners fan, but George Kirby is a ton of fun to watch because he doesn't walk anybody. He's throwing strikes all night. And now that he figured out that two seamer that he just randomly started throwing midseason, now it's his best pitch. Like that is nuts. And now he's throwing that thing back door at 97, like, and still not walking anybody, working in a new pitch. It's crazy.
As a Mariners fan, game three, who are you starting?
George Kirby.
Not Logan?
Not Logan. Logan has been too volatile the last 2 or 3 months. Now, ever since he started growing out the goatee, he's been an ace. But I would still give it to Kirby over Logan right now.
Would you give Kirby the game two start over Ray?
Ooh. No. Still like Robbie Ray. Like, okay. I think the Robbie Ray discourse is a little overblown sometimes.
I agree. I think
like,
he's been
good.
He's He's been really good. Not great. Really good.
No, I would go Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray, George Kirby. And if there is, you know, if you want to give a game four start, then you can give it to Logan. Or you just let Logan Gilbert probably throw 102 out of the bullpen, which would be ridiculously
fun. I think the Mariners are going to be so much fun. It's just can they hit enough?
Okay, and a little bit of Royals tie here. They give me serious 2014 Royals vibes. Like a team that's not amazing hitting, but they have some really nice young players. They're going to do enough to win, and they're going to pitch their ass off. And if you are losing in the sixth inning, you're screwed because the bullpen is going to be – not a starting pitcher, but when Matt Brash comes out of the bullpen, that is legitimately some of the most disgusting stuff I've ever seen.
I think he might have the best slider already in the game.
By stuff plus, I think it is.
Makes sense. It looks that and just stuff plus yes, just watch it yes.
Like
it
exactly.
It checks all the boxes of the traditional fan could say, oh, I don't care about the numbers, but look at that slider. And then you're deep into the weeds in the stats. Hey, look at this slider. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Peter, this has been awesome. This is not the last time you're coming on the show. I'm just telling you that right
now. No shot.
And if you need just someone to come on and rant, if one of your guests needs an off day, I'm more than welcome to pinch hit on just the Just Baseball show.
Gotcha, my friend. This is fun.
Absolutely. Before I get you out of here, this is the question I ask to all my guests that come on this show. You're a Yankee fan, so I'll couch it this way. If you were to take an at bat in Yankee Stadium, what's your walk-up song?
Oh, that's such a good question. All the Leaves Are Brown is like the song that I listen to at the gym. It's like, but there's like a remix. It's by this guy named Hoochie. It's like, you've maybe heard it before in a like football theme song. It's like, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. And then it just drops like that. That I think that makes gives me tingles. Like that's what I'd probably use.
Need something with like help you run through a wall. Like literally. Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Exactly. Yeah. That kind of song.
Awesome. Well, Peter, this has been awesome. Plug your socials really quick so everyone can go follow you and your work, especially if you're a Royals fan, wanted to see stuff on a more national level. Where can they find all your stuff?
Definitely. Like we write Royals articles all the time. We have a Royals writer on justbaseball.com. And, you know, instead of paying for The Athletic, all of our articles are free over there at justbaseball.com. You can follow me at PeterApple23, but it's not spelled like the fruit. It's APPEL23. I host the Just Baseball show. I host Not Gambling Advice. But all on Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. And Just Baseball Fans is our tag across social, TikTok, Instagram. And we're at Just BB Media on Twitter. And that's where you can find me. And I write an article every day on justbaseball.com with my best bets of the day. So if you're into writing or if you're into reading, you can read the article. If you're into listening, you can hear it on the podcast with my props.
Be sure to check that out. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe this episode. Be sure to follow the audio channel for everything we're doing at One Royal Way and Royals Farm Report. Follow all the awesome stuff we're doing at Kansas City Sports Network. We'll talk to you all next week.